You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Friday, October 22nd, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, it's our first installment of Free Agent Friday here this offseason on the podcast. Pretty much every Friday throughout the offseason, we're going to take a look at some free agents that the Orioles could go after. And, over the next 2 months, we are going to really take a look at who is out there for the O's, what positions they might need to fill up in terms of free agency. And, you know, with the O's hopefully spending a little bit more money this offseason than they have the past couple, there could be an opening to bring in some better major league players. And on today's episode, we started with the catcher position because we know, Adley Rutschman will be an Oriole in 2022. And the hope is he'll be an Oriole and the starting catcher on opening day of 2022. But the Orioles still have questions of who will that other catcher be that will be on the major league roster with Adley Rutschman. And there's also questions, hey, if the CBA doesn't really change, we could all see Mike Elias holding Adley Rutschman down for that first month of the season to get the extra year of control, meaning the Orioles might need two more catchers for the first month of the season before Rutschman gets to the big leagues. I think all in all, at the end of the day, whether it's a minor league deal or a lower major league deal, the Orioles are going to bring in at least one catcher into the organization this offseason. So today, I'll give you three names throughout today's episode, one for purely defensive standards, one of them who's actually been pretty good at the major league level, both at the plate and behind the plate recently, and one guy who Orioles fans know pretty well from the AL East, who could also help the Orioles as a backup catcher. So we'll talk about those three guys and what they could bring to the Orioles in free agency this season on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me every week to get in on the action and talk Orioles at Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. And before we get to which catchers the Orioles could target in free agency, just wanted to thank you for making Locked On Orioles your first listen of the day. Locked On Orioles is free and available on all podcast platforms. And again, we are the only podcast covering the Orioles 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. You wake up, you have a new episode of Locked On Orioles. And if you like what you hear, make sure you are liking the podcast, following, subscribe to it wherever you listen to this pod. And also, if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review if you can right there on the Apple Podcasts app. Just scroll down on the Locked On Orioles podcast page, leave a 5-star rating, leave a review. It really, really helps out the pod. And hope you're liking this podcast so far. Hope you like this series we are starting today. Again, Free Agent Friday here in the Orioles offseason. As we're going to go around the diamond, we're not going to talk about every single position for the Orioles. Like, for example, we probably won't talk first base because I think with Mancini and Mountcastle, the Orioles probably won't bring in any first baseman this offseason. But we'll hit on most of the positions and talk about maybe some potential free agents the Orioles could bring in this offseason. Again, they're probably not going to give out big deals to guys like Carlos Correa, but they'll probably spend more money than they have the last 2 years, which opens up the Orioles to some more potential players. And today, we start behind the dish. We talk about the catcher position. And I know, Adley Rutschman, he is the starting catcher for the Orioles for the majority of 2022. But Adley still needs a backup, and the Orioles could need two catchers at any point, especially, as I mentioned earlier, if Mike Elias holds Rutschman down for about a month to get that extra year of control at the beginning of the season, which stinks, and I hate everything about that, but it could happen, so maybe the O's need two other catchers. So I'm going to give out three names on today's episode, but first, kind of wanted to establish, what the Orioles have at catcher right now. Of course, Pedro Severino is still on this team after kind of a rough 2021 year, but I do not expect Pedro Severino to be back with the Orioles in 2022. He's due to go to arbitration this offseason. He's projected to be due anywhere between $3 and $4 million. And for what he gave the Orioles this year, terrible defense and not very good offense, much worse offense than he's given the Orioles in the past, it's not worth it. I think Severino is the Orioles' easiest non-tender candidate this offseason, which I've talked about. So I don't think he's going to be back. You look at the other options, obviously Chance Sisko, it's long been DFA'd. He is out of the system. You have a guy like Austin Wins, who played really well defensively after Sisko was DFA'd, but didn't really hit the ball that well. And, you know, he is past age 30. Then you have your guys in AAA, your Nick Schufos. Could the Orioles bring him back on another minor league deal? You have a guy like Brett Cumberland, who was a prospect who came over in a trade with the Braves back in 2018. He had been really good offensively in the first half of the year in AAA, really, really struggled in the second half of the year in AAA, which was why he never got a look in the big leagues with the Orioles this season. So those guys, you know, kind of still the options for the O's that are currently in-house. And then, of course, there's Adley Rutschman, the number one prospect in baseball, who hopefully sooner rather than later will be the Orioles starting catcher in 2022. But at the very least, even if Adley, as we hope, is the opening day starting catcher for the Orioles, they are going to need a backup catcher. And yes, even if they get rid of Severino, they could easily go with Austin Wins in that spot. And I think I'd be okay with that. Wins gives you really good defense, but you know the offense is just really not there for Austin Wins. And you know what? I think you would like to have another veteran catcher. But because, you know, with Rutschman being as good as he can be, and Wins, you know, even though he's in his 30s, he's not exactly very experienced at the major league level, hasn't played a lot of games up there. So you'd like to bring in someone who's had more experience at the majors. And that's what all three of these guys that we're going to talk about today have. And the first guy we are going to talk about is just strictly a defensive guy. He's in his late 30s. He's not going to give you any offense. Probably will give you worse offense than Austin Wins will, but he's one of the best defensive catchers and one of the best pitch framers led is left in baseball. And that is Jeff Mathis. Mathis will be, once again, a free agent this offseason. He is currently 38 years old. You got to go all the way back to when he was the 33rd overall pick in the 2001 draft by the Anaheim Angels out of high school. He has been in pro baseball for a long, long time. This was his 20th year in the pros this year. He spent this season with the Atlanta Braves organization, signed a minor league deal with the Braves last offseason, played three games in the majors with the Braves. He was 0-for-9 with five strikeouts at the plate with Atlanta, but he's still with the organization. And hey, if the Braves win a World Series this year, then Jeff Mathis will get his first ring right at the end of his season. And maybe if the Braves do win the World Series, that, you know, tells Mathis to finally hang it up, you know, to only play three games in the big leagues here in 2021. One, mostly be a AAA player. Maybe that shows him that it's time to end it, and could end perfectly if he gets a ring with Atlanta, because again, he did play three games at the major league level this season. But maybe Mathis wants to give it one more go. Again, as I mentioned, he is 38 years old, and he actually turns 39 on opening day of next season, March 31st of 2022. He will turn 39, so he'll be 39 all of next season. And he has been around the big leagues. He made his debut with the Angels back in 2005 and played kind of his first full big league season in 2007 with the Angels. He's been with the Angels, the Blue Jays, the Marlins, the D-backs, the Rangers, and the Braves at the major league level. And for Jeff Mathis, you know, he did only play three games this year, but he played 24 games at the major league level in the shortened 2020 season with the Rangers, and again, didn't hit well, hit just 161 on the season. He had three home runs on the year. He only had 10 hits all year, but again, he was up there for his defense. 2019, you know, the last full season he was in the big leagues, he played 86 games with the Rangers at age 36, and again, hit 158 with a 209 on base, two home runs. He's there for his defense, and pretty much everybody knows that. And he'll come in as a part-time player, and maybe Mathis just wants one more shot to play some major league games, work with a younger pitching staff, and that is what he could do with the Orioles. And, you know, you're hearing these offensive numbers, and if you don't know much about Jeff Mathis, you're asking, why would the Orioles bring him in? This dude is going to be 39 years old, and he can't hit. And honestly, that's a good point. You even look at, like, his best season offensively at the major league level. It's not very pretty. His best kind of foolish season, you have to go back to 2012 with the Toronto Blue Jays. He played in 71 games. He hit 218 and had eight home runs. That was his best offensive season. He has about 3,000 career plate appearances. He's a career 194 hitter at the major league level. But it's about the defense for Jeff Mathis, specifically the framing numbers. You go back to most recently for Mathis, and there is, you know, a couple of different numbers that can, you know, accrue framing from StatCast. But if you go back to his 2018 season, again, you know, this is a couple years ago, but he was still 35 years old. He played in 69 games for the Arizona Diamondbacks that year. That was his last year in Arizona. He was, by StatCast, the top framing catcher in the big leagues. And he was still pretty good in 19 and 20, not as good, and he got less chances as well. But in 2018, he was the top pitch framer in baseball. He was absolutely fantastic at stealing strikes, at helping out his pitchers, and especially helping out young pitchers that year in Arizona. And I think if the Orioles brought in a guy like Jeff Mathis, if he wanted to play one more year at age 39, he could be a perfect, you know, you bring him in on a minor league deal, he's not going to cost a major league deal. You bring him on a minor league contract, you bring him to spring training, and then, you know, you can add him to the 40-man, put him on the major league roster if he makes it as your backup catcher. So it's not going to be an issue of spending money on Jeff Mathis. And what he can do, if Adley Rutschman is the opening day starting catcher for the Orioles, Mathis can catch 1 to 2 days a week for the Orioles for maybe like the first half of the season, and then maybe the Orioles bring up a younger guy. But what Mathis can do is, A, help out this young pitching staff, and I know Adley is going to be a great framer and a great defender as well, but even when Adley DHs, goes and plays first base, or just simply gets a day off, you put Mathis in there, and you have him work with your guys, like your Keegan Akins, and your Alex Wells, and your Zach Lowthers, and hopefully Dean Kramers, and hopefully Grayson Rodriguez, and DL Hall at some point. You get those guys working with Jeff Mathis, their confidence is going to skyrocket. The amount of strikes that are going to be stolen for them is going to be fantastic. And the other thing is, Mathis has been in pro baseball since 2001. He's been in the big leagues since 2005. He's been a catcher since then, has never moved to a different position. He's been one of the best defensive catchers in baseball since then. I don't think you can think of many other guys who are better to play a little bit of a mentor role with Adley Rutschman as well, and Adley's already so good defensively. Mathis could only make him better. I think if Mathis wants to come back and he's okay with playing on a team that's not going to win a championship, I think this could be a nice little minor league move for the Orioles to make. But again, when you play him, you're not really going to get any offense. That is the setback. It's not even going to be Austin Wins where, you know, hey, maybe he'll run into one every once in a while. You know, Wins did hit a grand slam this year. Maybe he'll get a couple of hits. Like, for Mathis, the hits are going to be few and far between at this point. So that is kind of the risk you take. But coming up next, we're going to talk about a guy who will bring the Orioles much more offense if they bring him in as a catcher. Also a guy who's going to take a major league deal. And, you know, I don't know if he'll be out of the Orioles' price range, but he'll definitely be more of a wanted catcher this offseason. But I'll talk about why he could be the perfect fit coming up after the break. So we'll get back to our Free Agent Friday talk about catchers in just a second. But first, slow is just right if you're on vacation, a sloth, or describing QuickBooks. More like slow books. It sucks you in and slows you down with manual processes, integration difficulties, and glitchy delays that leave you scrambling for the numbers you need. Now is the time to make the switch to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system, because NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time, no matter how big your business grows. Failing to switch to NetSuite will leave you stuck trying to make sense of your books while your competitors sprint ahead. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control since switching to NetSuite. And right now, special financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to switch today. Head to netsuite.com/lockedon right now. Get special financing at netsuite.com/lockedon. Again, that's netsuite.com/lockedon. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by Built Bar and all of their delicious flavors of protein bars. They truly have something for everyone, whether it's raspberry, cherry barcia, strawberry, orange, any of those fruity flavors, they are all delicious. Of course, they all have chocolatey flavors as well. But it's really tough to pick your favorite because they're all so delicious. And here's the good thing about Built Bar, though. You're eating the bar, you know, it's delicious. You're like, oh, this is a candy bar. And then you remember it's good for you as well. The bars are healthy too. Most of the bars have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from just 130 to 180, only about 4 or 5 grams of sugar, and only about 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. So go to BuiltBar.com right now, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Now, while Jeff Mathis, you know, in terms of Orioles' potential free agent catchers here on a Free Agent Friday, would be the most defensive-minded option without any offense, here's a guy who might be kind of the perfect middle ground, where the offense isn't great, but it's still solid, and he gives you good defense as a catcher as well. That is Manny Pena, another guy who is on the older side. He is 34 years old. He'll be 35 next June, and he has spent, up to this point, most of his major league career with the Milwaukee Brewers. He has been with the Brewers in the major leagues since 2016, and essentially his rookie deal ends after this season and has now ended since the Brewers have been eliminated from the playoffs. And Pena has essentially been one of the better backup catchers in baseball over the last couple of years. This year with the Brewers, he played in 75 games, had 208 plate appearances for Milwaukee, hit 13 home runs, he drove in 33 runs. And again, you know, the 189 batting average doesn't look great, but when you pair it with a little better 293 on base percentage, he had a 95 WRC plus this season. And with a 189 batting average, you know, that's still, he's just under a major league average hitter. And the other thing with Pena, he got extremely unlucky this season. He had a 162 BABIP, that is batting average on balls in play. Usually guys will be in the lower 200s. If you have a 162 BABIP on the season, that means that a lot of guys are making diving plays on you, robbing you of hits multiple times, and he was probably, at the end of the day, the way the ball came off his bat, at worst, major league average hitter at 34 years old as a catcher, who gave you 13 homers in 200 plate appearances. That's pretty good pop from the catching position as well. That was a career high from Manny Pena in terms of home runs. His previous was 9 homers. He hit 9 in both 2017 and 2018, and that year he had over 330 plate appearances each year. 13 homers in 200 plate appearances this year means maybe he's starting to find his power stroke a little later in his career. The other great thing about Pena, he improved a lot of things in his game as a hitter this season. His walk rate went up to 10.6%. The best number of his career had been 8.9% in 2019. His strikeout rate, which had been around 25-28% the last 2 years, he dropped to 18.3%. So he walked more, he struck out less, he hit more homers. His offense seems to be getting better, and he's, you know, 34 years old. The other thing is, his defense didn't lose a step, even as the offense got better for Manny Pena. This year, defensively, he was still, in terms of framing, he was on the positive side on the framing numbers on StatCast. There's a stat called Runs Extra Strikes. Essentially, it tries to quantify how well you do in framing, and the numbers can be negative. Zero means you're a pretty average framer, and you know, if you get anything above 10, you're like an elite framer. Jeff Mathis, we talked about him. He had a 12 season in 2018. That's elite. Manny Pena had a 3 in 2021, which means he is a positive side, solid, good pitch framer. He is a good thrower behind the plate, has a solid pop time as well, and just a really good guy you want behind the dish. And he can hit a little bit. He can hit even more now than he has in the past. Now, the Orioles would have to, with Manny Pena, they'd have to pay him a little money. Not a lot of money by any stretch. Again, he'll be a 35-year-old backup catcher next year. But, you know, at the end of the day, in his final year with the Brewers, he made $1.65 million in 2021. And you have to remember, 2021 was probably overall his best season as a big leaguer. So he's going to want more than that $1.65 million. So for Manny Pena, it's probably a guy you bring in on a one-year contract. I'd probably say around $3 million, $2 to $3 million probably gets him to Baltimore. And, you know, Mike Elias has said the Orioles are going to be willing to spend more. It shouldn't take much to give $2 to $3 million to a backup catcher who could be this valuable. Again, to play in only 75 games and still accrue 1.5 Fangraphs WAR, that shows you that he was hitting well when he was in the lineup, and his defense was really, really good when he was catching for the Brewers this season. I think Manny Pena is kind of the dream candidate for the Orioles catcher that they would bring in this offseason. He's got, you know, some good experience in the major leagues. He's worked with a lot of guys like Yasmani Grandal. They were teammates in the past, the two of them, you know, great pitch framers. Pena worked with a fantastic pitching staff this year. We know that. You know, obviously Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta and even Eric Lauer and Adrian Hauser and those guys in Milwaukee, you know, they had great seasons themselves, but they were clearly helped out by Manny Pena this year to put up those great numbers. So he has experience with some of the, you know, you could probably say the Brewers probably had the best pitching staff in baseball here in 2021. And Pena was there behind the dish for a lot of those innings. I think he could really, really help out the Orioles. He also falls into the play of a good mentor for Adley Rutschman, a guy, you know, be 35 years old, been around the bigs as a pretty much a full-time player in the big league since 2016. And, you know, he has been through it and seen a lot of good pitchers and knows how to catch a lot of good pitchers. And hopefully Adley over the next few years will be catching a lot of good pitchers. Now, for the Manny Pena option, this would also help the Orioles if Mike Elias did want to play the service time game, which I hope he doesn't, and if the CBA rules stay the same, hold Adley Rutschman down for about the first month of the season and not bring him up till right around the beginning of May. If that's the case, Manny Pena can easily be a starting catcher for a team, especially if it's just for 1 month of the season. If you go into opening day next year with Manny Pena and Austin Wins as your two catchers on the major league roster, and Adley still in AAA for a month, Pena would be totally fine playing, I think, 4 to 5 days a week for the Orioles. He puts up good enough numbers to do that, and then when you would call Adley up in May, you'd probably send Wins back down to AAA, and you'd have one of the best backup catchers in baseball in Manny Pena sitting behind Adley Rutschman. And the other thing you could do, now, you know, when I talked about a guy like Jeff Mathis, that's the option just for defense, but there's probably less you would want to put Mathis in the lineup, meaning if you have Mathis, you probably want him catching 1 day a week, maybe two, but again, you don't want his bat in the lineup because it's such a black hole at this point. With Manny Pena, you know, you can give Adley a day off and Pena can catch and he can hit. You can put Adley at first base maybe at some point. Manny Pena can catch, he can hit. You can put Adley as the DH. Manny Pena can catch, he can hit. And you feel better about Pena maybe being in the lineup, you know, 2, potentially 3 days a week. And you still feel okay with his bat in there because, again, the last 2 seasons, he's been an average to above average major league hitter with a power stroke that he found this year with those 13 home runs, and I just think he would be a huge asset to this team. And again, he made $1.65 million this year. He'll probably command, you know, 2 to 3, maybe 4 on a one-year deal that he would want. And it's up to Pena. He's 35 years old. He's been on a really good Brewers team. Maybe he wants to come back to Milwaukee. You know, he carved out a pretty good role there. This Milwaukee team's going to be World Series contenders once again in 2022, and maybe it will be an easy decision for Pena to, you know, come back to Milwaukee and try to win a championship with them. Maybe he'll look elsewhere for another championship-ready team to come in and be that, you know, backup catcher role who plays a lot and can still give you the bat. So Pena is going to have a lot of options because he's really the perfect backup catcher. A lot of teams, most teams in baseball are going to want Manny Pena, so maybe the Orioles would have to spend a little more, maybe $3 to $4 million, but I think he could be worth it. And here's the other thing. You know, Adley Rutschman coming up, he's going to be up in the big leagues in 2022, whether it's on opening day or it's delayed a little bit. I'm not expecting Adley Rutschman to be the best hitter in baseball the moment he comes up. He's going to have his struggles. And, you know, yes, I would love it to be like a Wander Franco situation where, remember, Franco with the Rays this year kind of struggled for his first 2 to 3 weeks in the bigs and then was just on fire for the rest of the season. But that may not happen because it's still his first big league season. He may go through some struggles. And if Adley's scuffling for a week or two, you can give him more days off if you have a guy like Pena who you can trust both behind the plate and at the dish as a hitter to produce for you. And that would take some pressure off of Rutschman as well, because, you know, if Adley is a guy like Jeff Mathis behind him, maybe he feels a little more pressure to keep hitting because he knows if Mathis is in there, it's just not going to be a day where you get many hits from the catcher position. And I do think Manny Pena, kind of the perfect spot if the Orioles want to spend a little bit of money on another catcher position. But again, would just be a one-year deal because you're putting a lot of the eggs in the Adley basket, and rightfully so. But coming up next, we got one more catcher to talk about. This guy, a little bit less of an offensive threat, but a guy that Orioles fans will know pretty well as he spent a good amount of time in the AL East. We'll talk about maybe the final option for the Orioles at catcher in free agency this season when we come back. So we'll get back to it, looking at one final catcher the Orioles could pursue this offseason. But first, got to tell you about BetOnline.ag, which is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of basketball season, and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. And BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. So head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. And you can use it on anything, whether it's the NFL season, college football, the NBA starting this week, the NHL last week. I mean, hey, we're even getting close to college basketball season as well. And then, of course, we've got the Major League Baseball playoffs with the World Series approaching. So from basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, and you do it at betonline.ag, where the game starts. So the third and final catcher I wanted to talk about here on a Free Agent Friday for the Orioles is Sandy Leon. And you're actually going to hear this name, Sandy Leon, come up a few times over this offseason. I've already recorded the episode where we're giving out grades to the Orioles catchers for this season, and Sandy Leon comes up. We've talked about it in a couple of episodes that you're going to hear over the next couple of weeks as an option for the Orioles as their backup catcher in 2022. Now, the gist on Sandy Leon, he is 32 years old. He'll turn 33 in March, so he'll be a 33-year-old next season and is, of course, a free agent this offseason. Now, Leon has been around for a little while at this point. Came up originally in the big leagues in 2012 with the Nationals. Played sparingly for 3 years in Washington before moving over to Boston, where he really had his best years. He was with the Red Sox from 2015 to 2019. I'm sure Orioles fans remember him well. He played a couple of seasons where, you know, he played 80 to 90 games there. Then he spent the 2020 season in Cleveland playing 25 games there. And then he was with the Miami Marlins this season. He played 84 games with the Marlins this year, 220 plate appearances, and again, the offense was not good. A 183 average, a 237 on base, just a 42 weighted runs created plus, 4 homers, 14 RBIs for Leon. His walk rate, only 5.5%, a career low. His strikeout rate, 29.5%, a career high for Sandy Leon. So he basically had, you could argue, his worst offensive season of his career in 2021. But on the flip side for Leon, he is an outstanding defensive catcher, and he still is that, even here at 32 years old. And at the plate, you know, he is a switch hitter. And again, you know, although he's not great from either side, at least gives you, you know, a little bit of flexibility at the plate and, you know, can feel a little better with him up there. And although the offensive numbers aren't great. Now, they've been better in the past offensively for Sandy Leon. And, you know, even in 2020, they were a little better. 2017, they were a little better. 2016 is probably the year Orioles fans remember Leon from, because the last year the O's made the playoffs, they had to deal with a solid Red Sox team, obviously a good Red Sox team that year as well. And Leon was fantastic. 78 games in 2016. He hit .310 with a .369 on base, 7 homers, had a 124 WRC+. He was like the Red Sox breakout bench star that year and had multiple key hits against the Orioles that season. He has been essentially a terrible hitter since 2016, but maybe it's still in his bat, you know, here 5-6 years later. But for Leon, the reason you bring him in at 33 years old is for the defense, kind of like Jeff Mathis. Now, he still gives you a little bit better offense than Mathis, and he's, you know, 6 years younger than Mathis, which helps you as well. And he'll probably only cost a minor league deal, just like we talked about Jeff Mathis. There's a potential that he would want a major league deal, about a 1 year, $1 million type of thing that the Orioles could obviously swing, but he probably would only, you know, command a minor league deal and just try to get some extra money if he does make the team out of spring training. But in terms of the framing numbers, Leon has been a really good, solid framer since that 2018 season. He really started working on his defense more and more later in his career, especially when the offense started to go after that kind of breakout 2016 season. Then he was just bad in 2017 offensively, and that was when you could see kind of the defensive numbers flip. In 2016, he was not a good defensive catcher. He was a great offensive catcher. Then you get to 2018, he was a terrible offensive catcher, and he was a fantastic defensive catcher, and he's been that way since then. According to StatCast, he's in the 91st percentile in terms of pitch framing behind the dish. Did a great job this year working with a really young Miami Marlins staff. You think about all those pitchers they have in Miami, the guys like Sandy Alcantara, who had a fantastic season. You know, they've got their younger guys. You know, the Orioles faced them a few times, and guys like Jesus Luzardo, and, you know, even guys like Sixto Sanchez, who, you know, they didn't see this year but is on that staff. They have a lot of good young pitchers. and Sandy Leon worked with all of them this year and did a great job behind the dish, there's a reason why, with a 40 WRC plus, the Marlins kept playing Sandy Leon. They wanted him in there behind the plate with their young pitchers, and that's what the Orioles should want too. Again, at most, it might be a major league deal for about $1 million, probably could be a minor league deal for Leon. He's a switch hitter. Yeah, he can't hit great, but a fantastic defender who's been in the big leagues for a long time, knows the AL East, you know, spent 4 seasons with the Boston Red Sox on good Red Sox teams as well. You know, he won a ring with Boston in 2018, so he has been around. He knows how to face these, you know, great Yankees and Toronto lineups and frankly, Boston lineups as well, and he knows how to work with a young pitching staff. That Miami staff benefits so, so much from Leon being there in 2021, and I think the Orioles' young pitchers would really benefit from Sandy Leon kind of being in that same, you know, backup role for Adley Rutschman and catching about 2 days a week for the Orioles. I think they would really, really benefit from having him back there and could also be the perfect choice. But all three of these guys I talked about today, Jeff Mathis, Manny Pena, and Sandy Leon, all be pretty good choices for the Orioles as a backup catcher behind the one and only Adley Rutschman in 2022. But that's our first edition of a Free Agent Friday here on Locked On Orioles. As we are out for the week, we'll be back on Monday here on the podcast, continuing our report card grade series for the Orioles in the 2021 season. We'll take a look at the current Orioles catchers next week, give out some grades for them. We'll talk about some pitchers as well. We will get to some relievers and some weird seasons from relief pitchers as well, all coming up on the podcast next week. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.